One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses Parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was the float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. Often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance, and though they are clothed with power, they find themselves out of gas. This morning, I want to take some time, a little bit of time, to talk about prayer, but we're going to be spending a lot of time in prayer this morning. I'm convinced that this is where we need to start. For our church to grow and to reach those that don't know Christ, prayer is where we need to start. Now, oftentimes we want results kind of like 1 Kings chapter 18. I like to play basketball. And as I've gotten a little older, a little slower, don't make as many shots as I used to, I've decided that the best part of my game now is my trash talk. I love talking to the guys as we're playing. I love joking, making jokes, having fun, and things like that. I have nothing compared to this trash talk. So, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27 says, "And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.'" You see, Elijah was talking about Baal. Baal was a little g god that was worshipped. And people believed in him. He had over 400 prophets, and Elijah was the only prophet left for God. So Elijah said, "Let's put this to rest. Who is truly in control and truly in power?" Continuing on, skipping down to verse 36 and reading through 40, it says, "And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.' And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there." You see, oftentimes when we pray, we want that immediate answer. We want to see the fire rain down, right? We want to see God work in a way that's so distinguished that there's no question of who answered the prayer. But oftentimes, if you are like me, when you pray, you start in a little different scenario. And I kid you not, I just read an article, I can't remember if I read it Friday or Saturday, but there was a man, I remember his name because I went to school with a guy with the same name, Michael Packard, and he was going to check his lobster track. So he's diving down, he had scuba gear on, he got 40-some feet down, and all of a sudden he felt like he got pushed. And it got dark, and he thought he had been attacked by a shark. But then he noticed that the teeth weren't sharp or jagged. They're flat and smooth. literally 2 days ago, this guy got swallowed by a whale. Within 30 to 40 seconds, he said he started to struggle. Within 30 to 40 seconds, the whale surfaced and spit him out. His shipmate, wrote it down here. His shipmate, Josiah Mayo, saw this and fished Packard out of the water. This was just 2 days ago. What a whale of a tail he had, right? He's okay. He was worried about injuries. He got to the hospital. There was just some minor bruising and things like that. But I thought it was awesome because oftentimes when we are ready to go to the Lord in prayer, we start out more like in Jonah chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first two verses here. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard my voice.'" How often do we wait until we're in a dark place or a dark time until we cry out for the Lord's help? Till we cry out to the Lord at all? How often do we forget about him in our day-to-day when things are going okay? You see, in order to get prayers like Elijah's, we got to quit praying like Jonah. And so that's what I want to spend time doing today, is I want to spend some time focused on prayer this morning. The more I prepared for this message, the more time I took, the more I realized I need to speak less and we need to pray more this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few passages. Too far away. We're going to look at a few passages this morning. And we're going to spend some focused time in prayer. I want to encourage you to take a few minutes. If there's somebody around you that you want to pray with, that's awesome. If you want to pray on your own, that's awesome. If you're not sure if the person next to you wants to pray with you, you can come pray with me. You can go bother Pastor Tony. But let's spend some time with the Lord this morning. We're going to start by looking in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And I'm going to read a section of Scripture. I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray. And I'm going to read another section of Scripture. If you're not done praying, don't stop and listen to me. Keep praying. Okay? Ignore me. Deal with the Lord. Continue your conversation with Him. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And looking up at verse 13, it says, "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." Paul is not in a good situation here. And yet he is praying for strength. But I want you to notice, as he's praying for strength, his focus is on praising God. Okay, so our first time of prayer, I want you to focus on praising God. And if you're not sure what to do, look at this passage. And it gives you a good starting point. Verse 14 through 21, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Spend some time acknowledging who God is, praising Him as our Lord and Savior. Psalm 51 is a time where David goes to God to confess. He had not only just committed adultery with a married woman, he not only tried to trick her husband into believing it was his child, but when that didn't work, he had him murdered. This is David's psalm after the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him about his sin. To the choir master, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. I want you to spend a few minutes with God in confession. What burdens are on your heart? Actions that you've done that might not be right. Maybe someone you haven't treated the way they God calls us to treat them. Take some time and confess to God the ways that you feel you've let him down. Let him speak his love and his truth into your heart. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is considered a righteous man by many, by his actions, by his deeds, just by the way he lives his life. Daniel here prays for the nation of Israel, prays for God to redeem the nation, but he doesn't just condemn Israel. He's not only blaming others. He includes himself in this prayer. Next, I want you to be praying for the city of Danville. I want you to be praying for our country and the ways that we have gone away from God, ways where we have turned away from his desire and gone after our own. So Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent Amed, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame is at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far, and all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice and the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven, there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness or righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy and for your own sake, O Lord. Make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see, our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Let's pray for our city and our country. We truly want to reach out to Danville, to those who do not know the Lord. It's going to start with prayer. God's power is a lot stronger than our power. And we got to remember that. A few things I want to encourage you. This was a very convicting message to me. But set a time to pray each and every day. Don't find time. Make the time. Set a time each and every day. And it's important that we pray individually, that we talk with God one-on-one. It's also important to remember, as Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20 tells us, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." There is power in praying together. We want to make sure spending time in prayer on our own, but we also want to pray with others. The more we pray, we'll talk about this towards the end, the more we'll understand God's will, and the more we'll be praying in line with what he wants. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 to 18 tells us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We need to remember to pray without ceasing. Now, we need to have dedicated prayer times. But just because we say amen doesn't mean that we stop the conversation with God. It doesn't mean that we put God aside for the rest of the day and we just come back to him later when we read the Bible or when we do our set time of prayer. We need to constantly, continuously be thinking about God, being grateful for who he is, who he's created us to be, and what he's going to do in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So remember to continually pray. Even though you're not in dedicated time, continually be thinking about God. Continually be asking him, "What are you asking me to do today?" And then if there's a master level of prayer, I think we find it in Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. This is Jesus at Gethsemane. This is right before the crucifixion. Jesus knows what he is about to go through. He knows the pain, the suffering, the mocking that's going to occur. He knows that his disciples are going to be scared, unsure, not know what's going on. And this is what Jesus prays in that time. Chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Jesus knew what was ahead. He had a difficult task. I can't imagine calmly praying, even though it was in agony. He was worked up and he was nervous. I can't imagine what it's like knowing that you're about to be crucified, saying, God, I know this is what you want. Take it away if you can. But if not, give me the strength to go through it. See, the more we pray, the more we understand praying is pouring out our heart to God and letting Him fill our heart with His. God wants to know our burdens, our concerns, the things going on in our lives, and we are to pour that out to Him. He knows it, but He wants us to tell Him that. He wants us to share with Him. And when we empty that out, it allows room for God to start filling us with His heart, His will, His understanding of the world. There's a lot of good scripture. There's a lot of good stories about prayer. Pastor Mark in the fall preached on Habakkuk, and that was a great example of going back and forth between the prophet and God. The prophet didn't understand how God could let a nation that was more evil than Israel, even though Israel had turned away from God, how He could let an even more evil nation take over. And through prayer, God slowly, and then we don't know how much time this took over or how much time this was, but God slowly helped Habakkuk see God's overall plan, His overall will. Habakkuk slowly understood, slowly accepted God's will in his life. When you pray, empty yourself out to God and allow Him to fill you back up with His heart. I want to finish with the story. David Huxley owns a world record in an unusual category. He pulls jetliners. On October 15th, 1997, for example, he broke his own record at Mascot Airport in Sydney, Australia. He strapped around his upper torso a harness that was attached to a steel cable some 15 yards long. The other end of the steel cable was attached to the front wheel strut of a 747 jetliner that weighed 187 tons. With his tennis shoes firmly planted on the runway, Huxley leaned forward, pulled with all his might, and remarkably was able to get the jetliner rolling down the runway. In fact, he pulled the 747 100 yards in 1 minute and 21 seconds. A superhuman feat indeed. The church resembles the 747 jetliner. The strength of a few extraordinary humans can pull the institution of the church for very short distances. Or we can pray until God starts up powerful engines that enable His church to fly thousands of miles on the wings of the Holy Spirit. Let's rely on God's power and not our own to move in Danville, to bring those who don't know Jesus to a loving and growing relationship with Him. Today we're going to close in prayer. I want you to pray with me as the Lord taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15, and Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, gave us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember to pray every day. Set time, make time for the Lord. And if you do that every day, I guarantee over this year, you'll see God's work and what His power can do, not ours.